Josh Hakeston here, Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is actually Sunday, January the 15th, 2017. I am here in Jerusalem pre-recording my show for tomorrow. Hope you're doing well in your part of the world. Get in touch with me during the week, Josh at thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, it's Joshua Hakeston. And on Twitter, at Josh Hakeston. I'm here in Jerusalem with my man, Binyamin Breski. Got a little bit of rain over the last 24 hours. Not enough, Ben. I mean, what's going on here, man? It's winter in Israel. It should be raining day in and day out. We are not getting enough rain. We need the rain over here in Israel. Hopefully that will change and we'll just get like a downpour throughout January and February. So important. Anyway, this is a huge week in, potentially, I guess, in world history. Changing of the guard in the U.S., the inauguration of Donald J. Trump coming up this Friday in Washington, D.C., changes on the way. There is a real sense, at least where I'm sitting, a real sense of optimism here in Jerusalem, at least amongst my peers and groups of friends and people who had enough of the Israel bashing over the last 8 years coming out of the Obama administration. Especially now, today, Sunday, we see what's going on in world headlines. By the time you hear this broadcast, you probably will already have heard what was discussed and the results of this so-called Paris Peace Conference, which is taking place later today, today being Sunday the 15th of January. But I could probably predict exactly what's going to be said there, what the 70 nations who are coming together to discuss. It's obvious this is just an Israel bashing fest, just an opportunity to put pressure on Israel to make more concessions, which will damage its security. A conference against the Jewish presence in Judea and Samaria and in Jerusalem. Let's not forget the Western Wall, of course, occupied territory, according to the UN and these countries around the world. So it doesn't even really matter if I'm recording today, Sunday, or you're getting the news afterwards, because it's obvious. But the irony is in all of this, and this isn't something novel that I'm saying right now, but the fact that there are 500,000 dead in Syria just to the north of us, and this is what 70 nations are gathering for, 500,000 and counting, perhaps no end in sight. Yet this is the agenda: pergolas and nursery schools in Judea and Samaria. So we'll get the official word, I'm sure, later on other shows throughout the week here on the Land of Israel Network, but it's really nothing new. Just one last gasp of an opportunity for Secretary of State Kerry and the administration to try to stick it to Israel. We'll see if another UN resolution at the Security Council happens this week. We'll see what the ramifications are, the results, but it's just using the last several hours in office for the administration to once again go after the state of Israel. On the front page of today's Jerusalem Post, of course, is a smiling Yasser Arafat. Pretty much Yasser Arafat. Mahmoud Abbas. I mean, what's really the difference? Master terrorist from the PLO. And the Pope, Pope Francis, welcoming him to the Vatican on Saturday. Good buddies, good friends. The Vatican recognizing recently the so-called state of Palestine. Not exactly sure what it is. And we also had a little while back in 2015, Francis referring to Abbas as, quote, the angel of peace. That's how crazy this world is, where Mahmoud Abbas, the financier of the Munich massacre of 1972, is referred as the angel of peace. That's where things are right now. But like I said, like I started and opened with, there is hope. And we'll see what happens come Friday. I mean, you know, on one hand, it's a little bit upsetting that Israel has to wait or count on the support of such of another entity of the United States in order to act in its best interests. Like, are we still a banana republic? Don't we do what's best for us regardless? You know, when I'm just thinking about Menachem Begin and taking out the nuclear reactor in Iraq, despite the criticism levied at Israel around the world, I mean, it was an act which was necessary, and he carried it out and was criticized, but he stuck by it. And at the end of the day, he was thanked, or Israel was thanked, because of that action, taking out the possibilities. Imagine Saddam Hussein with nuclear weapons. So we have Iran looming. We have the war in Syria. We have Hezbollah. Locally, we have terror, jihadist terror from Hamas and Fatah. Let's see if Israel, regardless of what comes out of the Trump administration, and I am very positive again and hopeful, optimistic. Let's see if Israel can act in its best interests, regardless who the president is of the United States, who's in charge of the peace conference in Paris, who the Secretary of State is, or who the elected officials are. Let's act in our interests. One person actually who believes that Israel specifically singles out our current administration, Prime Minister Netanyahu, needs to act already and do what's best for Israel is Rabbi Joseph Gerlitsky. He'll be my guest here on the program in just a few minutes. He is an author and a rabbi, chairman of an organization called Rabbinical Congress for Peace. He had a very interesting op-ed in the Jerusalem Post the other day, and I was able to touch base with the rabbi, and I'd like to hear his view on what he believes is the right approach for peace here in Israel. You might assume one thing if you hear this name of the organization, Rabbinical Congress for Peace. Don't assume, hear him out, hear what he has to say before jumping to conclusions. A lot of people hijack that term peace, and then they start pushing the Oslo Accords and two-state agenda and concessions and giving away the land of Israel and all this other stuff. I don't believe Rabbi Gerlitsky is one of those. But let's hear him out here in just a few minutes, and we're going to go ahead and do so. After we thank our sponsors here on the Land of Israel Network, my name is Josh Haston. Again, this is Israel Uncensored, recording on January 15th, 2017. Cloudy skies in Jerusalem. Hopefully we'll get some more rain. Be in touch with me during the week, josh@thelandofisrael.com, on Twitter, @JoshHaston, and on Facebook, Joshua Haston. Shout out to Ben Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. We'll take a short break and be right back with our guests. Don't go anywhere. We are here in Jerusalem, the capital.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4-bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center with the most beautiful, breathtaking views. And I mean breathtaking. I've stayed there a number of times myself. And I'm telling you, there are few places anywhere in the city where you can take it all in to this degree. The view, the location, the great apartments, plus the wonderful staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
And welcome back to the show. Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network and at thelandofisrael.com. It is the 15th of January, 2017. Thanks so much for joining us. The sun right now is just starting to peer through the clouds here in Jerusalem. And I read a very interesting column the other day in the Jerusalem Post. It was by Rabbi Joseph Gerlitsky. He is an author and the rabbi and chairman of the Rabbinical Congress for Peace. The title of the column is "Mr. Netanyahu, It's Time to Leave the Bunker." Okay, now he discusses the fact that Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. And as of now, we are optimistic, as I said before, that he is a firm supporter, as the rabbi says, of Israel's security and Israel's right to the entire land of Israel. But what about our prime minister? And I thought this was a great opportunity to have Rabbi Gerlitsky on, because just several weeks ago, I was with an elected official from the United States in a town hall type of meeting, or parlor meeting, if you will, and a very reputable man. I'm not going to reveal his identity, but he basically said the same thing as the rabbi says in his column. He says that the onus isn't on the United States or the Trump administration to act. It's on Israel. Israel has to take charge. Israel has to act and do what's best for its security vis-a-vis the situation with our neighbors here in Fatah and jihadists. So I thought this was a great opportunity. So I want to thank you so much, Rabbi Joseph Gerlitsky, author and chairman of the Rabbinical Congress for Peace. Welcome to Israel Uncensored here on the Land of Israel Network.
Thank you, Josh.
If you can, just give us a little background. What is the Rabbinical Congress for Peace?
Yes, when in 1992, when Israel started with the Oslo Accords, we felt it's just the wrong thing, and we are not a political movement. We are rabbis from all over Israel, and in our organization, Rabbinical Congress of Peace, we have today 400 rabbis who joined this organization, this charter. And between them, there's the chief rabbis of Israel, Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu Zatzal, Rabbi Shapiro, from Etzet Beliatede, the Rebbe of Boston, the Rebbe of Sadigura, and many, many rabbis, as you could see in our site, from all backgrounds, that signed a halachic ruling that it says clearly in Shulchan Aruch that by giving away to Goyim, to Gentiles, 1 inch of land, this will bring them to conquer the whole land, Hoyalaysia, God forbid. Meaning, even it says it's a halachic ruling in Shabbat, in Hilchot Shabbat, in the laws of Shabbat, in 329, Shin Choftes, it says that even on Shabbat we go out, and we desecrate the Shabbat not to make sure that they can't come in even for 1 inch, because if we're going to let them come in, from there the whole land will be conquered. And that's what happened beginning of Oslo. We were 100% that this will only bring disaster, will bring all the tzaddis that we can think of to the people of Israel, and this is what really happened. We started with quite a few rabbis, let's say 50 rabbis, 60 rabbis, but little by little, many, many rabbis added, even some which in the beginning were hesitant, they weren't sure if they should give their signature. But today, I would say 90% of the rabbis of Israel, from rabbis of cities, rabbis from all over, from all backgrounds, Sfardim, Ashkenazim, Chassidim, and others, signed on this psak, on this halachic ruling, that we're not allowed because of Kedushat HaChayim. Kedushat HaChayim means the sanctity of life. Meaning we're not going in here so much about Kedushat as it's all about the holiness of Israel, but we're talking about Pikuach Nefesh, the sanctity of life. If we give away land, this will bring and put in danger, God forbid, the whole, all the people of the Jewish people in Israel.
So I definitely agree with you, and history has proven itself since Oslo in terms of how many Jews, Israelis, have lost their lives as a result of this horrific accord signed back in 1993. So the organization itself, in addition to sponsoring or signing on this letter, what practically are the rabbis, yourself included at the helm, doing in terms of perhaps encouraging a change of policy within the whatever administration is in charge here in Israel, activities on the ground? What do you do in order to get this message out that this so-called two-state solution or giving away parts of the land of Israel is number one, a violation, and number two, what we've seen over the last two decades has led to the spilling of the blood of Jews in the streets of Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Netanya, on and on.
Nearly three decades.
Yeah, we're getting there.
First of all, we met with all prime ministers, with all ministers of Israel, with Chavri Knesset. We are always on the go meeting with people who are influential. And we meet with all the ambassadors from Europe, from America, from England, from all over the world to explain them. And I want to tell you, the ambassadors from all over, they say, you people must be right, because we tried everything and it didn't work. And one of the ambassadors even said, you know, I'm leaving in 3 years. You people are living here and you're here to stay. I think you're right. We have to try a new way, because whatever we tried till now did not work, and it's not going to work, we told him. Now, as I said, we're not a political movement, but we believe that by publicizing a Torah halachic ruling, it has an effect on ground. It is a saying in Gemara. I'm going to say it in Hebrew, as it says in Gemara in Aramaic. Omar Malka Keturah. When the king says it lifts up even a mountain. Meaning, when there's a psak halacha, there's a halachic ruling which is publicized, it has an effect also on the situation as it is in this world. And therefore, we millions of copies of the Psak Halacha, of this halachic ruling, was publicized. It was a full page in the New York Times and the England paper and in Europe, all over the world. This is something which is going on and on. And we believe that we're going to have nitzachon, we're going to have victory.
So in your column in the Jerusalem Post the other day, again titled, Mr. Netanyahu, It's Time to Leave the Bunker, you say that hundreds of millions of American voters are looking forward to the day when finally a new tune will be heard echoing from the Middle East, and you describe some optimism here with a new president coming in Washington, D.C. Yet at the same time, the same exact time, you say that the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, remains, as you say, quote, crouching in his bunker, hoping that Trump will help him advance the two-state solution. Indeed, he will be the one to convince Trump that perhaps, despite all that has happened, recognizing a Palestinian state is a worthy endeavor. In other words, are you saying, do you believe that despite the hope and optimism and the potential for change here in the region, at this point, you are not convinced that on our side, on the Israel side, the Prime Minister and the administration will do what is necessary to once and for all declare the Oslo Accords dead?
This is something which is unbelievable. Unbelievable. The whole world is seeing what the Arab terror is doing, not only in Israel, but now it was in Berlin and it was in France, all over. And this, in general, to say two states for two people in two states, is pasul. There's no question. This is something. If look what happened when we gave away Gaza, we received 10,000 rockets. Now, if we're going to have a state next to us, I don't even want to think what is going to happen. And this is something which is forbidden completely to even mention this, because when we mention this, it gives our enemies, it lifts up their spirits that they're going to have a state. This is the worst thing that could happen for the Israeli people and for our bitachon. Now, by divine providence, this was a miracle. I mean, it was something which nobody thought. All the polls and all the people were saying, you know, there's no chances for Mr. Trump to be the president of the United States. Right. And we see, thank God, that he did. He won the votes. And there's such a big hizdamnut, such a you speak Hebrew
opportunity.
Such a big opportunity, and we have to do everything not to miss this rare opportunity, which was given to us by divine providence. So, it was given to us. This is a chance to change the whole picture. And what is Mr. Netanyahu saying? He's going to meet Trump and speak about two states for two people. This is something which has no sense whatsoever.
What does your organization? You mentioned you're not a political organization. But what would you suggest? I mean, there are several plans, let's say, out there as opposed to this madness, which I believe is craziness, the two-state solution. Do you have a specific plan? You know, you have a lot of talk now about sovereignty. You have all different types of plans. Everyone has different visions, from Minister Naftali Bennett and other both politicians and people in leadership positions and positions of influence in organizations, NGOs, trying to make change, trying to have an alternative. Does the organization Rabbinical Congress for Peace advocate for any of these plans? Anything you would recommend to our leadership at this time?
We recommend that all the leaders of Israel should understand that our Torah is called Torah Schaim, a Torah of living, Torah that gives life, Torah that brings life. With Torah, we could live. If we would listen to the Torah, we wouldn't have, God forbid, all these Oslo people who were killed and were Nifza. This is something which we would never have. And our drive is to bring the Torah to all the members of the Knesset, to the president, to the prime minister, to the ministers, that they should know that there's halachic ruling. Clearly, nobody argues on this halacha, that by giving away 1 inch and showing and speaking about it, this strengthens our enemy, and this brings closer, God forbid, to conquer the whole land. And therefore, our drive is that they should understand that in order to receive true peace, everlasting peace, not only peace for us, we are peace for also our neighbors. We are peace for Arabs around us. The true way of peace is only by standing strong, not giving away, not an inch, and telling them there's nothing to speak about, there's nothing to think about. Because when we tell them things, even though we're not doing it yet, by them it's already like we did it. And this uplifts them. And this is the way of Tayden. This is the way that we will come to the Natati Shalom Ba'aretz. I will give peace in the land of Israel by obeying the way of Torah.
Is it possible? Is it possible that we will see a change based on the circumstances, based on the new administration? In the article, you mentioned, again, the reference to the bunker, as if, you know, once Netanyahu does meet Trump in the near future, it's still going to be a two-state agenda. Are you optimistic that something will click and something will change in the next 90 days, 120 days, half a year?
100%. We are very, very optimistic because we believe that Mr. Netanyahu, deep in his heart, wants a complete Israel, wants bitachon, wants security. He doesn't want the two-piece, the two-state for two people. But a lot of pressure, and he's afraid of his, of what will people say, et cetera, et cetera. And we are telling him, go out of the bunker. Things have changed. Say the truth. Go ahead and say what you really want, and things will change for the good. There's no question about it.
Rabbi, how can people find out more about your efforts and the efforts of the Rabbinical Congress for Peace? What's the best way to get in touch with you and learn about the organization and all your activities and everything you're doing?
First of all, we have a beautiful site. Pikuach Nefesh, P-I-K-U-A-C-H, Nefesh, N-E-F-E-S-H, at, no, Pikuach Nefesh, .org or .net, or also .net. There's many, many letters and articles and then many things we did. Not everything is in the site. But I want to tell you, through the years, we had full-page ads in all the papers, and even later, we had campaigns all over the Israel. If you remember, I don't know if you were here then, maybe 10 years ago, before the Gaza, before the Itnatkut, we had ads and signs all over Israel, Mesirat Shitchei Eretz Yisrael, Sakana La'am Yisrael. This is a danger for the people. And I want to tell you, before our organization, people would think, and also there was a lot of publicity that maybe we should give away land and that will bring peace for the people. Let's give away and, you know, at least we'll live in peace. They said, Adam yoter chashuv mi adama. The person is more chashuv, more important than land. And
I remember that,
understood,
yes.
Adam yoter chashuv mi adama. And that is just the opposite, because by keeping the land, that's how we're giving security to the people. And we see this. We gave away. Look what happened. We gave away. We chased away 10,000 people. Hitnatkut me'aza. Look what we received. Look what we received. People should be blind not to see it. And the biggest thought is that we have people from inside, like Shalom Achshav, that they are always taking the stand of our enemies. This is unbelievable. You know, we had so many years of galut, and we always knew we have the enemies, and we're trying to help one another, we'll fight them, or we'll do everything we can to save the Jewish people, but we knew who is our enemy, who we are. Today we have, God forbid, enemies from within.
Galut from meaning exile, people. Just to clarify for the listeners who may not know the word galut.
Yes.
Galut meaning exile.
Exile, yeah, we were in exile so many years, but we knew who's with us and who's against us. Today we have Jewish people who grew up in Israel, and they're only trying, their whole movement is to fight the Jewish people and give kayach, give power to our enemies. And that is something which we have to deal with. It's not a simple thing. It's not that doing a lot of tzaddis to our people. But we hope that soon, more sooner than you think, Josh, Mashiach is going to come and take us out of exile, and we'll have Eretz Yisrael, the whole of Israel, the whole of the people of Israel with the whole Torah, and will live an easy and beautiful life here in Eretz HaKadosh, and there will be no more wars, and et cetera, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim.
I'm into that. And for people, again, get in touch with Rabbi Joseph Gorlitsky. And again, I love the name of the organization, Rabbinical Congress for Peace, because when you talk about peace,
we are for true peace, true and peace. Everlasting peace.
Exactly. Emerson,
right? True
and that,
peace
and that's something people don't understand. Often those on the so-called right, and I don't really like using the terms right, left, or center, or whatever on my program, but a lot of people, you know, often hear the word peace and they automatically associate it with some fringe extremist anti-Israel organization. But true peace, I believe, is through your message of once and for all getting rid of this whole notion that Oslo was a success or that two states is going to bring peace. So I really appreciate that. I think it's an appropriate name.
I want to tell you something, for Joshua, what you brought up. I want to tell you a little story that Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, the chief rabbi of Israel, Mordechai Eliyahu Zecher Tzadik Livracha, told me. He was by Shamir, then Mr. Shamir was the prime minister,
right.
The Yitzhak Shamir, and he was very right-wing, and he was always fighting for Eretz Yisrael, for Israel. So he told Mr. Shamir, I'm for Shtachim Ba'at Shalom. Shalom Ba'at Shtachim, you know, I'm for peace, for land for peace. So Mr. Shamir looked at him, you, Rabbi Eliyahu, was the land for peace? He says, yes, I'm willing to give them peace, and they will give us land.
Uh-huh. Yeah, if it was okay. if we were only in that boat right now, and people had that mentality.
No, well, Bezat Hashem.
But one day, please God, and I appreciate your efforts and your organization, and keep up the important work that you're doing, and keep writing, keep getting these messages out. It's important that it's published.
Thank you so much,
Rabbi Joseph Gorlitsky, author, rabbi, chairman, Rabbinical Congress for Peace. Check out his website. That's all for today, folks, here. It is, again, the 15th of January. We're pre-recording. We will air tomorrow on Monday. And, again, you know, very, very big week in the news, in the headlines. And, you know, I basically already told you what the papers are going to say tomorrow in reference to the so-called peace conference in Paris with 70 nations all gathering against Israel. There's no even need to pick up the paper. You already know what it's going to say. You don't have to be a prophet to know what the nations of the world are going to do here today, later on in Paris. But anyway, please God, we will speak again next week. Want to thank again our engineer extraordinaire, Binyamin Bresky. And from now it's sunny out, Ben. Now the sun's coming through here, the clouds in Jerusalem. I'm still praying for rain. I love the rain here in the winter. Hopefully it'll turn rainy. And we love the rain. We need the water here in the land of Israel. Be in touch during the week. Josh at thelandofisrael.com, on Twitter at Josh Haston, and on Facebook it's Joshua Haston. Thank you for the mail. Thank you for your support. And keep it locked in here at the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com with all our great show hosts and all our great shows. Shalom from Jerusalem. Everybody have a wonderful week. Be safe between now and when we talk again. All the best.
When I was growing up, I would read the books in the second half of the Old Testament, and sometimes I would get a little bit lost in all those prophecies of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and so on. That all changed the day I stepped foot in the land of Israel. As I harvested grapes and olives and more on the mountains of Samaria, the words of the prophets came to life right before my very eyes. Today you could be a part of this phenomenon too. I am Caleb Waller, and I'm inviting you to step into the pages of prophecy by joining us in Israel. Go to our website, that is hayovel.com, HAYOVEL.com, to connect to this amazing opportunity.
Hi, this is Eve Harrow, host of Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. You can hear a new show from me every Sunday, and every day of the week, shows from another one of my very talented fellow show hosts. Reach me, Eve, at thelandofisrael.com, and keep listening, everybody. We love your feedback. The Land of Israel, coming at you every day, every week. That's the Land of Israel Network on thelandofisrael.com.